I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend? Or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
It's 5 o'clock on the most listened to sports talk show for your ride home.
What?
It is time for
the Falcons Report.
Whoa, Casey got another pick. Here's Julio down the far sideline and will score. Sacked. Grady Jarrett got another one.
You shall not pass.
The 5 o'clock Falcons Report.
Oh, my heavens.
On Dukes and Bell.
We are Dukes and Bell. We start off every day and every hour. You can say this in your car with us. By saying, hey, man. It's good to have you listening. Hope you had tried some of our Hey Man Ale. Our watermelon lime is off the charts, Mike. Big shout out to all of the folks who are enjoying Hey Man Ale watermelon lime. Guy down in your neck of the woods earlier today sent a nice picture. I said Noonan loves us, which they do. What's the place you got to go check out down there?
Hey, man, there's a joint over in Fairburn, because I when I go up to get my Jersey Mike's, when I'm bringing the food to the cops and the firemen, I always pass by. I'm going to get those guys straightened out, because it looks like a big, looks like the kind of place Carla should be doing business with Dukes and Bell and Colby Brewing. But I know that Kedron World of Beverage, Cheers, has got it. They're loyal listeners, too, man. They got our beer. Just ask your guys. Go get it, and then Georgia Crown will bring it in. And by the way, speaking of Georgia, you and I, just real quick before we get to the Falcons, and another live interview with a new Falcon coming up this hour. You and I were talking about name, image, and likeness, about how Alabama signed their bill about 3 weeks ago. Florida was going to stop, and now they're restarting that bill. Georgia, you asked me about the governor about 20 minutes ago. Our buddy Mark Weiser in the Athens Banner Herald has got it. They're going to sign the Georgia version of the name, image, likeness bill Thursday out at Sanford Stadium.
How about that?
So we were just, again, I'm waiting to see if thing had gotten signed. It hadn't gotten signed yet. So they're going to make a big deal out of it. So Georgia and all your big power schools and the big states that love football as much as we do in the SEC are not monkeying around with this. So, yeah, the name, image, likeness bill at 8:30 Thursday out at the Sanford Stadium's West End Zone. And that's when Georgia will be able to compete, and Georgia Tech and everybody else, like the big boys down in Bama and Florida.
All right, man. Good stuff. Nick Howard, who is what I was talking about, who sent us that picture.
Thanks, Nick.
Down there at Ace Beer. I guess it was downtown Noonan off the square there at Ace Beer Growlers. So appreciate it, Nick. You guys can send us pictures. We love that, and we'll retweet you and holler back at
and
you.
And by the way, Noonan down there, Carl, they took it in the shorts with that tornado, but there's so many great restaurants and bars down there. It really is a cool little scene. It's part of the reason we moved down here.
I know, man. It is. I mean, every little community, we've talked about it. And I say little in the sense that, you know, like up here, we talk about Roswell. We didn't have Roswell Night Out, but when we were, before the pandemic, it was Bananas, Alpharetta's downtown area, Woodstock, Marietta Square. There's just so many different places that are vibing. And, you know, John's Creek. I mean, all these little places, man, they've got their own vibe. So that's what we love about our city. You can go different places, have different foods, different cultures, Mike, as far as what you're looking to do and enjoy. And enjoy Hey Man Ale. All right, with that, guys, coming up, we're going to talk to Drew Dowman, center from Stanford. He was a fourth-round pick for our team. Today, earlier on the show, okay, we had a chance to talk to a big Michigan offensive lineman who was great on the air, Jalen Mayfield, talking about what he hopes to bring. And if you missed it, go to Odyssey.com. But, Mike, let's talk about the impact of this draft and the feedback from a lot of our listeners and people, and we've been talking about this over the last few days. The thing about where we're at and where we want to go, and I want you to hear Terry Fontenot talk about the versatility of this class. I think as they were drafting and they had these names on the board and as guys came to us and they said, yep, that we're going to go get him, they were also thinking about the idea of what else can they do? Richie Grant can play free or strong. Jalen Mayfield can play tackle or guard. You know, Drew Dowman can play center or guard. These are guys that have versatility, and I think that was a big part of this Falcon draft. Here's Terry Fontenot.
Excited about this class. If you look top to bottom at every single player, you're going to see smart, tough, high character, and versatile guys that can be multiple and can do some different things for us.
Now, how good is this O-line going to be, Mike? Because that's really the question. You've been hammering this home. Mm-hmm. You've been talking about left guard for a while. Well, they went out and got some guys that can play guard. I don't know who's going to start, but they got some guys.
We got depth. You know, and again, Mayfield is penciled in as a tackle slash guard. A lot of these guys, as you guys have been watching the same stuff we've been watching, some guys are projected as guards. And this guy, he'd be huge, Carl. Think of the size of this dude. You know, how big Jalen Mayfield is plugging in next to, again, maybe our next guest. Maybe Hennessy is going to have to battle. Maybe Hennessy slides the guard. Maybe Caleb McGarry's got to prove he deserves to be at right tackle. You know, I just love the fact that we've got competition with young guys, and we talked about it. I brought it up in the interview with Jalen Mayfield. They liked the job he did so much. They didn't have to give him help against Chase Young, guys, the big stud defensive lineman, everybody's number one guy last year. Runyon needed help on the other side, but our new guard slash tackle, Jalen Mayfield, was able to handle him one-on-one. And again, that's I love the attitude, I love the edge, but now, Carl, the personality and how you run the football and then take pressure off Matt. And they got to respect the run game, and then all the things we want to do under Arthur Smith becomes possible.
Yeah. Are there any locks on this offensive line? Since we're talking to both offensive linemen today, okay. Are there any locks? Alex Mack's gone, guys. He's now in San Francisco, okay? Well, he came, he did the job for us. We'll always be, you know, grateful for the job that Alex Mack did when he came and solidified a line that ultimately took us to the Super Bowl and back to the playoffs. But it wasn't his fault that this thing, you know, didn't work out. But who are the definite starters? Mike, we're paying Jake Matthews a lot of money as a left tackle. That's just what it is.
Right.
I mean, if you're going to say, yeah, Jake is a starter – I'm saying this because I think as we get to camp, this thing should be wide open. Like, Arthur Smith's not coming in here watching film and going, yeah, he's my guy. Let me see you do it, right? Shouldn't that be the philosophy?
I mean, I think there's guys that certainly by the nature of the money and like Jake reworked his contract, right? So he's not going anywhere. We don't know when the other shoe drops, if Julio is going to have to be cut. Are they going to make Grady restructure his deal so Julio's still here? But there's some guys that have got to feel pretty good. Like, I love Chris Lindstrom. Chris Lindstrom's going to be here hopefully for a decade. He's rock solid. You know, I don't know. Do they see enough on film from Matt Hennessy at 6'3", 307? Don't have to be a monster to be a center. But, I mean, is he good enough for what they want to do? You know, or is our next guest going to actually have a chance to take this job over? I mean, this is where you just said it. It's a new set of eyes, a new set of evaluations, new expectations. You know, we brought in a bunch of free agents. Let's be honest. With the exception of maybe parts of last year, Carpenter was no good. Jalen Brown was a bust. So Matt Gono, I like the guy, 6'4", 305. Every time we ask him, what do we hear from D-Led? He's no good, Mike. Well, anyway, this new group might come in and say he's no good. But we're going to have, Carl, a chance to really see competition, and not the competition, with all due respect to Dan Quinn, that was lip service. Yeah, guys compete, but the guys competing. Remember all those years when we were talking about who's going to win the battle for right tackle, and it wasn't even a great competition? Yeah.
It was a joke.
You didn't want anybody to get that job. By the way, we're talking about our next guest is going to be joining us in 520. Yeah, right. And that's, again, a guy that looks to be a rock star. By the way, you see the statistics about what he didn't give up, about how many big plays didn't happen while he was, you know, playing center for Stanford? That, to me, is impressive.
Well, I think what has impressed me about him, Drew Dahlman, is he got better every year. He was also an academic All-American. When you talk about, you know, we say this all the time, and these guys don't get credit, but up front, the smartest guys. I mean, especially at the center position where you're helping call the calls and pick out the blitzes and helping the quarterback get everybody in position to where they need to be. But I think, Mike, the thing for me is his ability, and I said this yesterday, to get to the second level in this zone scheme. You know, that's what made Alex Mack special. Alex is past his prime. Is he going to help San Francisco? I don't know. He's comfortable with Shanahan. Maybe he goes out there and they go on another run. I just didn't believe Alex was the same guy we got when he got here. But it was 5 years removed, you know. And I mean, I didn't expect him to be. But the point is, when he got here, one of the reasons why he was so good is he could get to the second level and create those zones that we talk about where, you know, you're stretching the play and all of a sudden these lanes open up. That's between the offensive linemen and the defenders, or getting in between the defenders and the offensive linemen, and these, you know, being able to get to the second level, the linebackers. This kid can do that. So
right.
I like that about him, and that's why I think, again, we could be, and I don't know, we'll see. He's got to compete. We could be looking at him being our starting center, Mike, when it's all said and done. I just want this from Arthur Smith and this staff. Nobody should be guaranteed Jack except the guy wearing two.
Right. That's everybody else, all bets are off. Right,
because seriously, why should we roll into camp and go, well, you know, this guy's making $10 million. I don't give a damn. Honestly, you right. shouldn't either. I don't care how much they're making, Mike. It should be, we're competing. We'll talk to you guys in 3 weeks and tell you what we've come to the conclusion of and who's going to be playing. That's where we should be at. I don't think that anybody should roll in and it should be, except for number two, what is this O-line going to be? Make them earn it.
Now, speaking of the run game, Mike Davis, guys, is just a tick under 5'9", 220. So that would be, if you're looking for what are we going to be, well, that would be your thunder component, okay? And if you're looking for your lightning, some guys are still in their bag that we did not draft a running back. Well, guys, we drafted Ito Smith in the fourth round. He's not here anymore. He couldn't stay healthy. You don't have to necessarily be drafted to be a star. I mean, one of the great Falcons of all time, Jesse Tuggle, was an undrafted free agent out of Valdosta State. So I don't care what you think about where or who should have been drafted where. Let's see how they integrate some of the guys we've had. And again, look at the video guy. Carl and I were talking about this yesterday. Look at Javian Hawkins from Louisville. Look at the things he's doing. Now, look, I don't know anything about Caleb Huntley from Ball State, but he's a bigger dude, 5'10", 229. So they're going to compete. And Quadre Allison. I don't know if Allison was listening to our show yesterday, but when we talked about him here in the Falcon Report, he was on Twitter about how he can't wait to go to work. So somebody got in his ear that we were talking about him. On paper, Allison should be a guy who got more chances last year. I know Todd Gurley was going to come in here and they're going to give him some touches, but if Allison gets better at pass protection, Carl, then maybe he can have an impact as well. So that's why we didn't – the long answer to a short question I keep having to answer is that's why we didn't draft a running back.
All right, guys, it's Dukes and Bell. It's our Falcon Report. We do it every day. It's brought to you by our friends at Domino's.
Domino's, guys, car side delivery. You got to ask for it, but it's great. And whether you're doing the mix and match for $5.99 or a three-topping pizza for $7.99, have it carried out to the car. Get all the details at Domino's.com.
All right, coming up, we are going to talk to Drew Dahlman and get his take on things. I think the offensive line is such a big deal. Nobody wants to talk about it because it's not the bells and whistles. It's not the sexy stuff of what we're going to get excited about. But if you want to see Julio, if he's still here in the end zone more, if you want to see Mike Davis scoring touchdowns, if you want to see Matt upright and not sacked 41 and 42 and 44 times, you know, respectively over the last 3 years, this is what it's about. So going into camp, one of the biggest things outside of how good this defense is going to be and how we improve is how this O-line is going to look. You want to get the most out of Matt Ryan? That's how this has got to be. So I'm glad that they brought in who they brought in, and the competition is going to be more intense. But we also have to be better up front, and that's why we're talking so much about it. All right, coming up, we'll talk to Drew, get his thoughts on his time at Stanford. His dad played. As a matter of fact, he was here as a kid, ironically, and now he's back as a player with the Falcons. It's Dukes and Bell.
The Strong Arm Story of the Day is brought to you by John Foyt Associates Personal Injury Law.
Mike, I want to introduce him like a wrestler. 6'3", 295 pounds. Drew Dahlman joins us on the Wade Ford.
Wait, hold on. From Stanford with a brain bigger than both of us combined.
That's true. Joins us on the WadeFord.com hotline. Drew, welcome to the A. As you can see, man, we're excited about what the Falcons have done in this draft. I know you're excited, but talk about your history here. You've got some history with Atlanta, don't you?
Yeah, definitely. And first of all, thank you both for having me on. I really appreciate it. But, so this will be my second time living in Atlanta for about 3 years when I was pretty young. I lived out here, and my dad coached a little bit for the Falcons, so I'm familiar with the franchise.
I read the article of the AJC. It's kind of cool because we had Jalen Mayfield on, your fellow rookie teammate. He grew up a Falcon fan watching Mike Vick, and you were a little kid who got to see Mike Vick up close.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, I'm not sure I really knew the full Mike Vick, but I knew that he was the big man on campus, so that was pretty cool to be around.
You get drafted by the Falcons in the fourth round. You played center, a really great career there at Stanford. Let's talk about your versatility. It's something Mike and I have been discussing with our listeners and Falcon fans today about, you know, guard, center, center, guard. What has the team told you in regards to that? And do you feel like you can do both at a very high level?
Yeah, I haven't heard anything yet, but really my whole philosophy has been I'm comfortable with both. I've played both all my life, and I'm just going to come out and practice and do my best and kind of let the chips fall as they may and let them make those kinds of decisions.
It's funny how your dad, basically you're following the track your father, you know, as far as Stanford. You were a three-star guy who started 3 years for the Cardinal. Pro-style offense, I mean, you think you were really set up for success in the National Football League?
I do think that Stanford does an amazing job at that. I mean, from the terminology and the offensive style and everything, it's almost a copy of a lot of pro-style teams. So really grateful for that, and I do think it'll prepare me to make that transition a little bit more easily.
Did the Falcons speak with you prior to the draft? Were they at a pro day? I mean, had you had any contact with them? And if so, what were the conversations like? What were they asking you?
Yeah, it was so kind of the typical format for this offseason or draft season, I guess, has been like hopping on Zoom with some coaches. So got the opportunity to do that with them, talk a little ball, look at some of my film, look at some of theirs, and kind of just chop it up a bit. So that was great. Really enjoyed learning from them and happy I got the call from them on draft day.
If you're just tuning in, guys, with one of our newest Falcons today, as we're getting a chance to talk to the rookie class, Drew Dahlman joins us here on the WadeFord.com hotline, Atlanta's Ford dealer. What did you do on draft day? Were you watching TV by the minute, or were you just hanging out? What was the plan?
Yeah, I was just enjoying some time with the family, really really low-key, just hanging around and kind of waiting to hear my name called.
What about playing for David Shaw? He was very complimentary, obviously, of you and what you were able to accomplish for him. We were talking about the zone blocking scheme. It's what they want to do here with you, but talk about your experience there with David Shaw and what kind of coach he is and what you learned from him.
Yeah, I mean, if you look at his history, the guy can just flat out coach and win. So I really enjoyed learning from him. Super, super wise coach, great leader, and someone with an NFL background. So I had an awesome time underneath him, getting to learn how to function in a pro team, practice like a pro, do all those things. So really grateful for that, and he's always going to have a great team under him.
What do you know about the organization? I mean, obviously, we're just a few steps ahead of you because we've got new coaching staff for the first time in a scene. I guess, did you watch what they did in Tennessee? Is that what you kind of expect to see us do here?
You know, I haven't had a ton of time yet to kind of do my research. I look forward to doing that. But I know they're a great coaching staff. I know Coach Ledford has done an awesome job in the past. So I really can't wait to get to work with them. I know they have a great vision, and I'm happy to be a part of it.
Drew, what's it take to be a great center? Talk about the communication and all the things that are going on down there. You got to be really in control of stuff. In your opinion, what's it take to be a great center?
I think one of the first things that comes to mind for me is being prepared. And you can have all the talents in the world and all the physical ability, but if you can't get guys going in the right direction, then you're going to look real bad on Sunday. So, for me, it's really about preparing beforehand, getting guys on the same page, and then obviously once the ball snaps, you got to get your job done. So it's really it's a lot of leadership, a lot of preparation, a lot of communication, and obviously football all wrapped up in one.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, they've always said, Carl, again, I was a shotgun center. I was the long snapper. We all know that's a discipline all its own, Drew, as Drew Dahlman joins us here on the WadeFord.com hotline. But, I mean, a chance to battle, and that's all you're looking for. But you think you can come in here and obviously compete? We've got a guy who's only got 1 year ahead of you who's played the center position, and I know that you said you haven't had all the conversation with the coaching staff, but do you believe you can come in here and win the center job?
You know, that kind of stuff has never really been my style. I come in, practice hard, prepare, do all those things I need to do, and the rest of that will kind of sort itself out. And obviously, first and foremost, we're just trying to win games. So that's really my only goal.
Cool. Talk about, if you would, I mean, we know your strengths. We know what you were able to accomplish at Stanford. What do you feel like you need to work on coming into the league?
Yeah, I think, I mean, obviously with the jump from college to the NFL, there's a leap in speed and physicality and all that. So I think for me, it's adjusting to that as fast as possible. And then obviously I always have technical things I want to work on, whether it's my footwork or my hand placement, things like that, and pass protection and the run game. But those are things that I'm constantly working on and kind of looking forward to learning some more from guys that have done it for a long time, longer than me.
Get a chance to have Matt Ryan rest his hands on your tuchus if you get the starting job. What was when you were at Stanford? We always joke around when we have guys from like the schools where you really do have to have some SAT work. What was your course study, man? What were you doing when you were there?
I was studying mechanical engineering when I was there.
Oh, forget it. Mechanical engineering. Oh.
All right. Wow.
That's too much math for me, Mike.
I'm literally dumbfounded and have nothing to follow up with that, Carl. Do you?
that's too much math. I barely can go second and four. It's third, you know, are you kidding? He's talking about mechanical engineering.
All right.
Oh, my goodness. Drew, I got to ask you this because I just think it's cool. And you know, if not, just tell me. But your middle name's Brazil? Is that right?
Yeah. Uh-huh. So maybe not the most exciting backstory, but that's my mom's maiden name, so I got stuck with that one.
Okay, right. I just wondered because I was like, when you introduce yourself, call me Brazil.
I got to admit it. It's got some mystique and some.
It's got a little something
to it, right?
Yeah, I wondered, you know, Drew Dolman, call me Brazil.
The ladies call me Brazil.
Yeah. All right, man. Well, listen, we are excited about having you and competing and all of these things. I know you're keeping it on the up and up, and it's all business for you, but I know inside you got to be going crazy and living out your dream, man. By the way, what's Dad think? What's Dad said to you with his experience in the NFL?
Oh, he's just excited. He knows how much I wanted this and that this has been my goal for so long. So he's happy to see some games again and head out to Atlanta.
Cool, man. Well, we do appreciate that, brother. Oh, by the way, you know, it's funny. You know what? I can finally get some intel on the guy I was talking about during the draft. What do you think of Davis Mills, by the way? Because that was a guy that I had on all my – no, full disclosure, Drew, I'm one of those dorks who does like 20 mock drafts, but he kept coming up. But I know it was a small sample size, but what was he like to play with?
Yeah, I mean, I'm a Davis Mills fanboy for sure. Definitely a little bit biased. But, yeah, he's awesome teammate, awesome guy. We came in as freshmen together, so I watched him develop, and he was just a pleasure to play with. And on top of that, just an incredible football player. He can make any throw, and he's a great leader in the locker room. So Houston's really lucky to have him.
Well, man, we wish you the best of luck. Look forward to seeing you when it comes time and, you know, getting a chance to meet you and see where this thing goes for you, man. Welcome to the A. Welcome back to the A. And we're excited for you, Drew. Thanks again for joining us.
Thanks so much for having me on. Have a good one.
Right, you got it. You know, it's funny. I was looking at some of the photos and stuff, and the interview style, just talking. It reminds me of talking to Alex Mack. You know, I mean, he's kind of all business. But again, when you're, it's a different type of guy to play center. I know it's all been written. You guys have seen it. But as Carl says, you are the second most important guy out there on the offense, calling all the blocking assignments, knowing what you got to do, and you really do have to do your homework.
Yeah. Well, and remember I said he's a smart kid. I know he's studying mechanical engineering. That's a whole nother level. But he's got interest, obviously, outside of football. But that speaks to he's going to be able to pick up the playbook fairly easy. You know, he'll be all right. All right, guys, plenty more to get to. If you missed our interview earlier with our other offensive lineman, our third-round pick, Jalen Mayfield, it's online at odyssey.com. Make sure you check that out. We're trying to introduce you to all of our newest Falcons, and we'll continue to do that. The Midday Show had on our sixth-round pick, Frank Darby, today.
That was fun. I caught that in the car coming back from the gym. As infectious as we thought he would be, Carl, after his reaction to getting drafted in the first place.
Fun. So we're just trying to, you know, introduce you guys to all these faces that we're going to be seeing. And again, this is no indicator of how good they'll play. Just saying, hey, what do you expect to bring? What are you trying to do here? All right, coming up, we're going to talk about our Braves. We'll go around the yard. We'll tell you what the lineup is tonight. I would love to say that these early series that we are now in the month of May, well, we'll be okay. They really don't mean anything, but they do. We can't continue to lose series and, for that matter, get swept and expect us to be where we want to be come July, where things start to pick up. We got to get going. So tonight's a big night. This series is a big series, but we'll tell you what's going on with the Braves next. Look like tonight, Ronald Acuna leading off, followed by Freddie Freeman, Marcelo Ozuna hitting in the three hole, followed by Ozzy, Austin Riley at third base hitting fifth, Dansby Swanson sixth at shortstop, William Contreras, guys, catcher behind the plate hitting seventh, Christian Pache, and then we got Oscar Yanoa. Now, Brian Snicker talked about Contreras, Mike. He's the guy that's stepping up for Darno, who's now on the 60-day IL. Listen to our manager. All right. Well, you'll hear our manager in a second.
Well, I mean, he's a young kid. He's paid his dues. His brother played. His chance to do it. See what he can do.
Let's hear Snit.
Well, I think a year in AAA would be perfect. In a perfect world, this is not a perfect world. And he's going to get some very valuable on-the-job training, and he's matured a lot. I thought he did a good job handling himself today. That was a rough ride for him.
There you go.
So he's talking about his first outing or up, you know, being up in the bigs. Right. He went 1-for-3 the other night. That was Toronto. I think it was Sunday. We end up losing that game. We got swept by them down there in Dunedin. What happens in this series, Mike, against the Nats?
Yeah, the Nats, by the way, you're, I believe, first place Washington Nationals at 12-12 for what it's worth. And again, we've always talked about the pitching. You know, I always get on my soapbox about spending. The Nats, the Phillies, the Mets have all outspent us. And right now, through a really awful start to the season, they're all ahead of us, but they're all struggling as well. So the Nats, Carl, at 12-12, the Braves 4 games under .500, injury bug, concerns about the pitching. You and I talked earlier about, you know, will Drew Smyly step up? You said 5 is the magic number as far as quantifying what Drew Smyly is. He's had 4 starts, hasn't won one yet. Noah's going to go tonight. He's 2-1 on the year, but he got roughed up last time out. So, yeah, I mean, it's been exasperating. You said it. It doesn't pass the eye test, but it's still early. I mean, I can't tell Braves fans, well, you can't say the season's over after 28 games. That's ridiculous. But we got to get hitting. And the first guy who's got to get hitting, his name is Freddie Freeman.
Because Freddie is your most consistent and has been your best player. Now, people will say, he ain't as good as Ronald Acuna. I didn't say that. Acuna's a 5-tool guy who has the potential to be a multiple, you know, type MVP player in this league. But it hasn't happened yet. Freddie got his MVP, and Freddie has been the most consistent bat in this lineup. So Mike's right. It's not just about Acuna, and he can't carry the team all year. I don't care how good you are. That's not how baseball works. You know, so Acuna continues to do what he's going to do. And right now, Mike, he's still in the hunt. He's hitting about a bunch of home runs. But we need Freddie and Ozuna and Albies and Riley.
I thought Ozuna, you know, the 2 home runs back-to-back against the Cubbies, I thought, especially going down to that minor league facility in Dunedin, which the Blue Jays are forced to use, we talked about yesterday, I thought we'd be the guys that would just be teeing off. And it just, you know, a save for the Pache Grand Slam, I mean, it was ugly. I mean, you know, we got 2 of those games were laughers, to be quite honest. So regroup and take out the Nats. This one is one that really matters in the division. And hopefully there'll be some spark. Remember, we it was funny. We won 3 games in a row after the incense, or I'm sorry, the sage burning from Dansby.
it may
require further sacrifice. We may have to go the route of a live chicken, you know, a la Major League with Serrano. But there's just something missing right now. And you're nervous. I mean, and let's be real. I mean, even, you know, there's Braves fans, we can all sit here crying, well, it's early yet. Yeah, but there's still something missing. Do we know Soroka's going to be able to plug in? Is Fried going to pick up where he left off? You know, the other pitchers, Charlie Morton is not impressive. Smiley's dreadful. You know, it's just, it's a lot of things. And you know, we're not even complaining about the bullpens. We haven't been in a position to get some saves lately. So, but again, Ozuna, let's see, he went 4-for-13 against the Blue Jays. He has had a hit in 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. He's got a 7-game hitting streak, Carl, for what it's worth for Ozuna. But we need him to step it up as well.
Yeah, and by the way, Riley's coming along. Riley is finally starting to hit in this lineup. Brian Snicker talking about a sense of urgency. Here's the other part. you can be lackadaisical, right? And some teams, when they're really good, they kind of go about their business that way. I don't think we're that good. Not yet. We're not even where we were at the end of last season. So there's no reason for us to come out and kind of be like, ah, nonchalant. There's got to be some urgency, and I think it's missing right now. Here's Snit.
I mean, this is a different struggle probably than last. There was a heightened sense of urgency last year. This year's been different. It's been just as much of a grind, believe me, but it's in a different way.
And the other guy we've talked about is Dansby Swanson. You know, he struck out 34 times so far.
I know. Yeah.
I mean, he looks a little bit like Riley at times, just flailing at the curveball or the slider. I mean, Dansby's had some dreadful plate. I'll use that word twice today. But, yeah, he's had some awful plate appearances, Dansby.
Bust that home run egg.
Well, that was Austin Riley, Skipper. That's a different dude.
Let's hope they all bust that egg. I mean, I just want to see us – in all the concerns and worries that I've talked about today throughout the course of the show, all of that, some of that stuff's going to fix itself, Mike. Mm-hmm. Some of it is injury, guys getting better, and this coming back, like Sorokin Freed. But some of it is also guys getting in tune with where they need to be. And if you wait too long, it might be too late. I want you guys to hear me. I'm not saying we're not a playoff team, that I don't believe in them. But right now, and the way this thing works, the better start you get off to, the less you have to worry about at the end.
Right.
This is such a long season. The grind of getting into August and panicking about we're 10 games out and we got to find a way, you can, but it's hard. Mm-hmm. I'd rather be on the other side of that and say, hey, we're 5 games up and right. We have some room for error. And guess what? Even on days that we're not our best over the next 30 days, we're going to be okay. Right now, the way this team is got all these issues facing them, we could easily find our way, you know, in a situation like that. And the good news is, I guess, Mike, that this division, nobody's running away with it, but you said it. God forbid we get swept by the Nationals here, and all of a sudden everybody's going to be freaking out. I guarantee
right. No, you've said it, and a couple of guys agree with you. We just don't pass the eye test right now. I mean, it is not the start we expected. I debated this with a guy last night on Twitter about, you know how we should have knocked the Dodgers off. When you got the team down 3-1, I mean, that's – people just assume we're coming back. Well, the team, you know, Charlie Morton was a nice pickup. They did wait for the market to settle on Ozuna, but I still think we need to spend more. And I've always given Alex, you know, the pass that he's not given the money that other teams, like other general managers in our division, get. But Smiley's a mistake right now. It's got to get better. It can't get any worse.
No, I don't disagree. Get him out of here. 404-741-0929. It's our Solomon Brothers Diamond text line. What's your pulse about the Braves right now? That's where I am. And that doesn't mean if we win this series,
I'm nervous. So what's the word we're using? We're nervous?
We're nervous. And you know why? Because it could go either way right now. Seriously. You could have a series of bad starts. Smiley could continue to spiral out of control, and they don't do anything, which I don't see Alex Anthopoulos not doing that. Charlie Morton could be good but not great, which is we need him to be great. And then you're counting on other guys, Mike, that you didn't think you'd have to count on because you felt like Soroka and Freed were going to be there, and they're just not. It all starts and finishes with starting pitching. So just that alone, I'm nervous. And then, oh, by the way, you know, everybody keeps saying, we'll hit. Well, you can't hit one game and then not hit four other ones and then hit a game and then not. That's where we're at. We're not consistently scoring 4 and 5 runs, and then the teams we're losing to are just better on that night, and we go, man, at least we put up some runs.
Right.
We've been struggling to find a way to score, and we can't hit lefties.
Right. Let's hope the Contreras starts raking. Wouldn't it be nice to have a Braves rookie come in like Acuna?
Oh, I'd love it.
Or Albies?
I'd love it, man.
I mean, where is Pache going to be when we're all said and done, by the way? I mean, I know it's a small sample size. I know we were buoyed by what he did in the post. He showed some real great at-bats and some patience at the plate. But, I mean, you know, I mean, it's almost – the argument I was getting into with some Braves fans last night on social media was, I mean, we never want to part with prospects. Well, these prospects better be the real deal. And I know it's a small sample size. But, I mean, Contreras, we know he's a year – you heard Snicker make this use. Well, should have had some AAA. Carl, talk about what AAA is. You said it. You covered baseball. You're on the way up. A lot of guys make the jump from double. AAA, you're in a holding pattern. If you're ready for the show, you're ready for the frickin' show. So, William Contreras, good luck.
Let's
you're on.
That's right. That's right. he felt like, I think individually, he felt like he should have made the big club coming out of spring training.
Right.
You just heard Snickers say it in that soundbite about being patient with him, because they would have rather him got the at-bats and the time down there because he's playing every day. Mm-hmm. If they would have started him up here with our catching situation, not as currently is with the injuries, but with the two guys we had on the roster, he would have hardly ever saw time. Right. So why are you going to sit him on the bench? He's not getting at-bats. He's not seeing time. So I understand the reasoning behind it. But talent-wise, he's good enough. So let's see where he goes, man. Is that Ike barking about that?
Of course it is.
What's Ike barking about?
You know, he's great for me. Becky gets so upset because she's like, you know, I'm so sick of this. He's always good for you. Like, you saw, if you're watching on Twitch, he came up. I'm feeding him chicken, you know, for my salad, and he's sitting there being lovable, and he's a pure hellion for Becky. It's good cop, bad cop. I'm the good cop. I get good dog. He's wilding out, Carl. It's the wilding hour.
All right, man. Coming up, top three at six. We're going to dive back into a guy that now is getting criticized for being weak and sensitive. You don't know what we're talking about. Stay right there.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.